You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me as always, my partner in crime, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's happening, man?
Dude, I am awake, which is good. I am alert. I am overly excited because, as we were going to start with today, Raw, SmackDown, the WrestleMania weekend shows. It's Raw, NXT, Raw, and SmackDown go on sale this morning.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was so we got on the phone. We got on Skype at 7:50 a.m. this morning, and you said at 9 a.m., right? 9 a.m.
Yep.
is when it hits, so we're going to hold the show. Our time slot on thechairshot.com is anywhere from an hour, 60 to 90 minutes. So we're going to hit that 60-minute limit, and we're going to call it a day, so that way you can get your tickets. Now, WrestleMania tickets have already been on sale, right? It's all the other tickets that go on sale now?
Yeah, WrestleMania, as I've stated, they go on sale. I can't generally get the spot I want the day they go on sale, so I just let them go on sale and then wait until the section that I want wait until I find the price that I want in the section that I want.
I got you.
Because there is a specific section. Last year, I tried to switch sections. I didn't get the section that I wanted.
Right.
And as you've all heard, the obscured view story.
Where right.
I just couldn't see most of the entrances. So I said, I'm never doing that again. I don't care if it costs me a little bit more money. I'm going to always sit in, like, one of three sections.
Right.
It's like the best way to say it, it's like 113, 114, 112 section.
And now is that – I don't have the seating chart in front of me, but that's
– It's opposite of camera side. So if you're coming out to stage, you're coming down the stage and you're the wrestler, I'm sitting to the left. But I am the first section off of the field. There's the floor seats, then there's the risers, and then there's my section.
Gotcha.
So 112, 113, 114 is where I like to be, just because you get a straight shot. You generally don't have to stand a lot because they're in the sections where each seat's a little bit higher than the other. And, yeah, like I said, it's just perfect for me.
Got you. That's cool, man. That's cool that you have that you know why you like to sit there and everything else, because I feel I haven't been to WWE events enough where I have found like my perfect section. But when it comes to Dallas Cowboy football games and OU football games, I know exactly where I like to sit and why I like to sit there and stuff. So I totally feel what you're saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's just funny because I am I'm not tall, but I'm taller for a normal person. I'm 6 foot tall. When I sit down on the floor, it's always not great experiences because anytime I stand up, I'm generally blocking someone's view. And it's like, if I'm going to spend that much on a ticket, I feel like I should be able to stand up.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
So to avoid all of that, I'd sit in the sections where it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and dude, if you're spending the money, I don't care who you are, if you're spending the money to go to an event, you might as well spend the money to sit exactly where you want to sit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I totally get it. Next topic, man. Some sad news this morning. It actually came out. I read it. I actually read it from you. When I first got up this morning at 5:15, I seen that you posted it in our online club, entitled The Club on Facebook. If anybody would like to join, that Dynamite Kid passed away.
Yeah, and I got it from Will Ospreay. You know, in England, they're about 6 hours ahead. From what I understand, he was like the first person to report it. And once that happened, it was just, yeah, it was, you know, big loss. As many of you may know, or, you know, hopefully it doesn't anger anybody anymore, one of my favorite wrestlers growing up was Chris Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Benoit pretty much made his wrestling life after the Dynamite Kid. The Dynamite Kid was known for his very physical style, his short stature, his really buffed up section. He puts a lot of muscle on that small section. He was known for a headbutt and a snap suplex. I mean, Chris Benoit pretty much made himself into basically a evolved version of Dynamite Kid.
Right.
Everything about his character was to look, feel, and everything like Dynamite Kid.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Chris Benoit is probably the most famous one, but I've read, and I know you have too, dozens of wrestlers, if not hundreds, that cite Dynamite Kid as one of the most influential wrestlers, of their childhood. Most of the time, it is people like Chris Benoit and X-Pac, Sean Waltman, undersized wrestlers that say that he, was their idol, basically.
Yeah, and his moves, I mean, his career wasn't really, it was nice and long. It was like a 20-year career, but he was one of the first signs of what can happen to your body. As he was one of the first examples of what can happen to your body for wrestling, for like going too hard. He was in a wheelchair. I mean, pretty much the last 20 years of his life was him being in bad health.
Yeah, he is one of the face cases of the litigation going against the WWE involving concussions and injuries and stuff like that. And I don't think that anything was ever resolved in his lifetime. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the litigation is still ongoing, right?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so. He lost the use of his left leg. He had a paralyzed left leg and used a wheelchair. He was cared for by his second wife, Dot. He was told he would never be able to walk again. Harley Race, the inventor of the diving headbutt, has stated that he regrets ever inventing the move because it appears to have caused spinal problems as well as concussions and may have contributed to, Dynamite Kid's disability. In addition to his paralysis, he also suffered heart problems, had a stroke in 2013. He was named in the lawsuit WWE after they received a letter from him indicating he intended to sue them for concussion-based injuries sustained during his tenure with them. He was represented by Constantine Kairos, who was involved in several other lawsuits involving WWE wrestlers. He's lost, like, all of them. And I forgot what they call it. Today was his birthday. He actually died on his 60th birthday.
Oh, wow. That's horrible. Horrible, yeah. We just horrible, you know. 60 years old, that is absolutely just way too young, you know. When people like me and you that are, you know, in our 30s, when we think of 60 years old, we're like, man, that's forever away. But, man, 60 years old is not very old. You know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things, 60 years on Earth is not a long time, so... very unfortunate that we lost Dynamite Kid. He made a huge impact in so many wrestlers' lives.
Yeah, him and Tiger Mask, I mean, as the modern junior division was basically built on them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's just like a lot of the ways we wrestle, the physical style, that came, you know, they came from his style. He was like nothing anyone had ever seen before.
Right. Yeah, just absolutely sad. I figure we will get a bio in, let's see, if not today's Wrestling Observer, then next Wednesday's, and we will go over that a little bit, probably whenever that comes out. So
I wonder how WWE is going to present it. Is it just going to be like, RIP Dynamite Kid, we heard about the passing of Dynamite Kid, and just go viral? Or are they going to even acknowledge it, because, you know, he was one of the names in the suit against them.
Right. I would imagine, to be totally honest, I mean, especially the way that, you know, everyone that has ever been on the outs with Vince McMahon, besides Nails, has been welcomed back in. I would imagine that they would, you know, a 10-bell salute, or at least, you know, they would. I can't imagine them not at the very least acknowledging it. What is your thoughts on it?
I think they'll acknowledge it. Yeah. I just don't think it'll be like a 10-bell salute or anything.
Oh, you don't think, like, so?
No, I think it'll be very much like,
hey, Pat, hey, that's horrible.
Condolences to his family, and then move on.
Right, yeah. One more topic before we start our SmackDown review, and that was yesterday I made the commute down to the sponsored entertainer Mitch McCoy and Malico's house. They live about 75 miles away from me, and I went and spent the day with them yesterday after you and I went off the air, and I will be featured on tomorrow's Mind the Business, which is a show on the Offshoots Network, which the Offshoots is a wrestling, it's a group of wrestling podcasts that are mainly focused on wrestling in DFW, which is Dallas-Fort Worth. And on that podcast network is Mind the Business, which is Mitch McCoy and the Magnificent Malico talking about their career, and each week they have someone else on talking about what they're doing in the business and what they feel about WWE, who their top five favorite wrestlers are, all that jazz. So I got to be on the latest episode, which is episode 6. So that'll be out tomorrow. It was really cool. They actually do their show, Floyd. They do it. I don't know if you've listened to any episodes, but they talk all within kayfabe. So it's really, you know, it's just kind of different. You know what I mean?
Definitely, Malico. Yeah, I watched it, and it was very interesting to me. I watched one of the episodes, and I was just like, it was different than anything else you're getting online or anyway. Oh yeah, WWE.com. WWE is set in to learn about the passing of Dynamite Kid, so it was on their page.
Okay, good. I'm glad to see that they.
They gave a pretty long bio too. So.
Oh, WWE did.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Maybe we'll touch on that later on this week. But yeah, so anybody that wants to check out Mind the Business, it's actually a really cool show. And I'm not just talking about the episode that I'll be featured in tomorrow. They've had, I'm trying to think of the other guests they've had. They've had the Young Gun Chandler Hopkins, Fuego del Sol. They had Conlon Sutherland, which is a referee in our area, in this territory basically, and they've had a few other guests, but the show's really cool. Like I said, we talked in kayfabe terms, so we talked about storylines going on at Heroes, we talked about storylines going on at WFC, Wrestling for a Cause in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I learned something new, man. So you might already have known this, but I did not know this. So there's been 3 promotions so far in the state of Kansas that have teamed together, and they have a governing body similar to what the NWA was in pro wrestling up until the early 90s. And it's called the KWA, the Kansas Wrestling Association. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. I don't think it costs I don't think it costs the promotion anything to be involved. But it's just like a handshake, a working agreement saying, hey, we're allowed to, use storylines, and titles can travel through the promotions and stuff like that. So between these three promotions, like, you know, they've got storylines going from one to the other and stuff. And the way Malika was explaining it, it's really pretty cool. And he said that, I think it was XWE, which is one of the three promotions under the KWA banner, is drawing in like over 300 people every single show in this little town up in Kansas. Drawing like over 300 people. Yeah, because you know, they're progressing their storylines, because, you know, now they only run one show a month, but storylines are staying, you know, in the fans, you know, like memory, because if they go to another show, they see the storyline progress and they see that title and everything. So they have all these wrestlers that are running through each promotion, and, you know, it's the way he was explaining it is really cool, man. And I really hope to see something like that maybe take effect down here one day. Don't you think that'd be pretty cool?
I that is actually one of those things. I wouldn't even call it a dream. I would call it an idea that I had, is that there are so many small indies in Oklahoma. If you could find someone, you know, and really like Malico, and really focus on building him as the star in the draw, and then he works, like, let's say each of the major companies has a show each week, and he's the Oklahoma heavyweight champion, and he works those different shows, you know, and then he works against their top guys or whatever, and he's more of a traveling draw. I think that would do more to bring Oklahoma wrestling together, because that's what you're really working on. And you're not working against the WWE, because there's no comparison, you know.
Right, right.
If it's a really big show in Oklahoma where you bring in celebrities or whatever, you might charge $100 a ticket, you know, if that's a really big show. But in general, you're only charging like $10-$20 a ticket, and that's something you can take your family to. You know, and yeah, it's like, so if you would focus on drawing that local talent, you could run profitable shows with a main draw to pay that main draw enough to basically live as a wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And think, you know, if you had a half dozen of these promotions working together and they were trading, like, you know, tape equipment and stuff, like, so you and I could show up at a WFC show. You and I show up to a WFC show in Claremore. Well, a week before, there was a, you know, say a BPW show in Bristow the week before. Well, you know, the BPW show was recorded, you know, and streamed. And so when you get to the WFC show at the beginning, there's a quick 3-minute intro video telling you about all the storylines that happened the week before at BPW. And so then anybody that wasn't at the BPW show is caught up on the storylines, and then it progresses throughout that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it shows, like, Malico, like, say he narrowly escaped defeat at BPW. You see that. And then Malico can come out, talk about that, and he can come out and be like, oh, I dominated last week, if he's a heel, and people can be like, you know, oh, screw you, we've seen it, you almost lost, you know. I think it would be really cool, man, to see promotions working together. It would be really cool.
Yeah, and then if you get the Oklahoma thing together, and then you do a super show every year, and you have the Kansas champion against the Oklahoma champion, you know, and it's just, you know, maybe some people come down from Kansas, people come up from Oklahoma to the Kansas show. There's, you know, and it's like one of those things. You're not trying to compete with the WWE. You're putting on your own brand of wrestling.
Yeah, man. I really think that it would be cool, man. It would be something. I think us as wrestling fans and people that work in the business, I think eventually it's something that we should try to look at. Because it's not something that would cost money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would just be, you know, it would just need to be, you know, an agreement between promotions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you have your local stars and your local champions, when WWE does try to come in and run a show to try to shut down one of your shows, your local people are going to come to your show. They're going to be like, well, I'm more in touch and more in tune with the characters and the storylines on this show, and it's cheaper, so I'm going to go to this show. I'm not going to the WWE.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, you know, and then, yeah. I just love it, man. I just love
WWE has been putting out so much subpar, you know, products right now. It's this is the time for someone, if they really wanted to compete for the eyes and the hearts of the wrestler fan, this is the perfect time to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, I want to segue into SmackDown, because the way you said that, first, I want to ask you, did you think SmackDown was better than Raw this week?
It is consistently better than Raw.
Yeah.
Last time I thought Raw was better than SmackDown.
Yeah, I think the entire time that we have done this show, I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was one time, and it's been a good little while, I think there was one time where you said, I think SmackDown kind of fell a little bit lower than Raw this week. One time. And we've been doing the show for months. And I think you've said that one time. So I looked up on 411 Mania, and they do a community grade. They have people grade the each show, SmackDown, Raw, MLW, Fusion, anything that they review. So I looked at Monday's Raw, and it was graded a 3.7 out of 10. And yesterday's SmackDown was voted a 7.5 out of 10. So basically, fans are currently saying, voters are currently saying that SmackDown is twice as good as Raw right now.
Yeah, SmackDown focuses on wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, the first segment of SmackDown, which you're about to break down for them, but the first segment on SmackDown took the title that they were talking about more seriously than any title on Raw.
That is so true. I didn't even look at it that way, but now that you mention it, you are absolutely right. You are 100% correct. You are 100% correct.
They care about being the champion.
They do. And they make it like, I'm not even a woman. And I watch them and how passionate they are. And they're like, I'm like, damn, I want to be the woman's champion. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just like, on Raw, the tag titles are on AOP. You wouldn't know, really.
Right.
The women's title is on Ronda Rousey because she's the biggest star on Raw. But it seems like every week their purpose is to show how badass Ronda is. Like, to me, if you're trying to build up, and I mean, we're going to go to SmackDown. I'm just one point.
Yeah.
Trying to build up Nia Jax is a threat to Ronda Rousey. She should be kicking Ronda Rousey's ass every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
But right now, every time Nia's went after Ronda, Ronda has gotten the better of her. So why is Nia a threat to Ronda?
Yeah, it's so true, man. It's so true. I wish I had an answer for you.
It doesn't seem like it. It's just like, okay, she's just going to tap her out.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I do want to say a quick quote that Rusev, sorry, I couldn't think of his name. Rusev said this quote today or yesterday on SmackDown, and I just thought it was so funny. I typed it at the top of my notes. He said, look at this chest. It's like a wine barrel. Look at this bicep. It's bigger than Mount Fuji. And look at these traps. They look like double decker tacos.
Then he said he was hungry.
Yeah, that's right. But I thought that was great. But yeah, what would you grade SmackDown this week? SmackDown.
I gave it a B.
A solid B. Yeah, and that's about right. Because what did we? I don't know if I remember if I asked you what you graded Raw yesterday. Do you remember?
I gave it a C.
Yeah. Okay.
It was better. It wasn't unwatchable like last week was.
Right.
I mean, I had people last week just turn off the TV.
Yep. Yeah. And Mitch McCoy, when we were recording yesterday for their show. I want to plug it again, Mind the Business. That's what he said, the same thing. He said they turned it off because it was just god-awful bad.
Yeah, and it's just like, to me, it's like there's a lot more options out there. There's just way too much TV, way too much good wrestling to watch bad wrestling.
That's so true, man. It really is. Well, let's kick off some SmackDown because we have got about 33 minutes for the review before we need to sign off of the chairshot.com so that we can make sure you get your tickets, my man. So we started off with the contract signing with Paige in the ring. She brings out Becky, Charlotte, and Asuka. Becky says she makes his. Well, she said, I want to paraphrase it, but I thought it was awesome, so I wanted to say this. She said, hey, Paige, you said that we're making history, so it must be Tuesday, because anytime the man steps in the ring, I make history. She's just such a badass, isn't she? Becky Lynch is such a freaking badass.
And it just seems like it was, in the way she's doing it, she doesn't stumble over her lines or anything like that. It seems like it was always there. They just flipped on switch.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true, man. Like, it seems like this is, it almost seems like she's been holding back this whole time, and they just said, finally they said, like, it's like you let a dog off a leash. And I'm not, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I'm not saying Becky's a dog. I think
she calls herself the bitch, so.
That's true, that's true. But you know what I mean? Yeah, but you know, I hope everyone doesn't take that the wrong way. I just mean, like, you know, they let her off her leash, and she's like, boom, I'm taking this shit over.
She didn't say she's the baddest bitch on every promo. I'd be like, yeah, you can take that bet, but she says it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true. It's true.
But this was like, this segment was, I mean, Charlotte was booed, which is cool because Charlotte's one of those people. She's a flair, so she can take heel heat, whatever.
Yeah.
And then Asuka and Becky were, but the belt felt so important in this segment.
It did. It really did.
It just felt like it was the most important thing. First of all, it's on the biggest star in wrestling right now, Becky. She's the hottest name in the WWE right now.
True.
Becky Lynch. Then you have Charlotte and Asuka, who have put on a 5-star match at WrestleMania. Then Charlotte put on another great match with Becky. So there's an actual turmoil there. And Becky has never been able to pin Asuka. And it was just like, and they did a great job of having three people and them all having conflict with each other. Sometimes in triple threats, one person gets kind of left out. Mm-hmm. But in this one, it's like they all legitimately don't like each other.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree 100%. I thought Asuka was fit in there nicely, as about as good as you can, you know what I mean? Because just to reiterate what you said, you know, most of the time it feels like one of them's kind of playing catch-up, right? But that didn't seem like the case here, like you said. So after Becky said that about making history, Charlotte kind of goes after her for saying, you know, hey, give it a break. We know what you're going to say. You're going to say that I was given a chance because of my last name, blah, 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 blah. Asuka reminds Charlotte that Becky beat her, but Becky hasn't beat Asuka. Asuka goes on to claim she would have beaten Ronda at TLC, and she will win this match. Charlotte is not impressed and reminds Asuka that she broke her streak. I actually like the way Charlotte said it, because she said that she broke the streak at WrestleMania, and then later on she goes on to say, hey, I've already destroyed the mystique that is Asuka. I thought that was a really cool way to put that. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I would have liked it if Charlotte reminded her that not only did I beat you, I made you tap out.
Oh, that's true. I forgot that she made her tap out to the figure eight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
That's why I would say it was just added that extra twist. But I honestly thought this segment went as well as it could. I mean, it was a great segment. It was like, I watched the segment and it was like, better than Raw. That segment was better than the whole show, and like I said, Raw wasn't bad. It was just this segment did a great job of making them all seem like three credible threats. The belt matters, the storylines, and then they did a good job. You know, Becky just like she big dogs him and says, "Screw it, I'm done talking," and just bounces.
Yeah, that was the next thing that I was going to bring up. Is she said, "Y'all can't beat Ronda, and you can't beat me." She signs it. You hear the boop where she kind of tosses the microphone. She rolls out of the ring, never looks back. Charlotte's even talking trash to her on the way out. Becky never pays her any mind. She walks to the back. I thought that was really cool. She, like you said, big dogged her. You big dogging me?
Yeah, like I'm bigger than this. You're not even important enough to argue with anymore.
Yeah, it was awesome. So after she leaves the ring, we see Mandy and Sonya Deville arrive. They're not impressed, calling Charlotte and Asuka undeserving. Sonya says Asuka won last week via fluke, but that won't happen again. Mandy and Sonya tell Paige, we're the girls, we're the females that you groomed for championship success, so we deserve to be in this match, yada, yada, yada. And how did Paige, she Teddy Longed it, didn't she? She turned it.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a tag team match, player.
Now, I enjoyed the tag team match because it kind of went against the grain.
It was a good match, wasn't it?
I would have liked Charlotte versus Mandy and Asuka versus Sasha, or the vice versa. But the way they ended up doing it was better than what I wanted.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I did like the way that went. Before we seen the match, the show goes to commercial, rather. We come back, Shane is texting backstage. You see him standing next to, was it the World Cup trophy? Is that what we call that thing?
Yes, the Best in the World trophy.
Best in the World trophy. Gotcha. Miz questions why he's going to have Daniel Bryan on Miz TV today. He again proposes that Shane and Miz be partners. Shane tells him to focus on interviewing Brian. Miz says, you'll owe me. And Shane says, I don't owe you anything. And I thought this was kind of funny. Miz grabs the trophy as if he's like covering up a child's ears. And he's like, come on, Shane, not in front of the trophy. And kind of walks on. I don't know. I thought that was like goofy funny.
Yes. He the Kofi. They're a couple, and the trophy is their kid. And that's kind of really awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. The Miz can make just about anything work, dude. He really can. Anything except being a babyface. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we get now we go to the match, which is Charlotte and Asuka taking on Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. It was a good match. It went 11 and a half minutes. Charlotte, if I remember right, she accidentally kicks Asuka. Asuka either punches her or kicks her in return, and that allows...
No, like, yeah, kicks her in the face, full-on running kick to the face.
Ah, that's what it was. Okay, yeah. And that allows Sonya to get the pin and get out of Dodge.
I really like that because it gave Mandy and Sonya a win over Asuka and Charlotte. I hope they don't give them their win back next week. I hate when they do that.
Yeah, 50-50 like, booking is such garbage.
Yeah, and it's like you're really trying to push Mandy and Sonya as, you know, a threat. Let them win. Maybe run the match back and let them win again next week.
Yeah.
But don't do that.
Yep, I agree.
Don't do the 50-50 thing.
I agree. Next, we get a triple threat with Cesaro taking on Xavier Woods, taking on Jey Uso, and each one of their partners were ringside. Sheamus was there. I think he was actually wearing both tag team titles, one facing forward, one facing back. Xavier Woods' other two partners, Big E and Kofi Kingston, actually had their own pancake commentary table. Is that how you would describe that?
Yes.
And they were cutting in and out of their commentary. They called the entire match. I thought that was pretty funny. They would cut in, and Big E at one point was like going crazy, and then he like switched on like his monotone Michael Cole voice. I thought it was pretty funny. And then of course Jey Uso was just kind of roaming around on the outside along with Sheamus. Jey Uso ends up winning the match. Match went 9 minutes and 10 seconds. I thought it was a fun match. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was a very good match. Again, it actually made all three of them look strong. They all had their hot periods of the match, but it was just it made Uso just looked that much better. Like, sometimes it's like the other guys suck. That's why that guy's good. But they did a good job. Like, we're all good. He was just better tonight.
Yep, I agree. I totally agree. I think Jimmy and Jey Uso are two of the probably one of the best tag teams in the world right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, my dream match now is them versus LAX.
Oh, okay. I can see it. I can definitely see it. Next, we see footage of Nakamura attacking Rusev last week before their match started. Rusev says that Nakamura did it because he's terrified of him. He says he's hungry to get his U.S. title back. This is when he talks about his wine barrel chest, his Mount Fuji bicep, and his double-decker taco triceps. Rusev praises the value of the U.S. title and says when he gets his hand on Nakamura, he will feast on Rusev Day. See, SmackDown even kind of made me care about the U.S. title a little bit. The U.S. title in the last little bit has really kind of lost some of its importance to me, but it even seems like SmackDown is working to make that title have some meaning, like they have with the women's title. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, I thought so. I figured me and you would agree on that because we definitely are seeing eye to eye on Raw and SmackDown. Like, SmackDown is just such the superior show. Like, you and I don't think we could say that enough. It's just such the superior show.
Yeah, and it's mostly, you still have the WWE stuff, but SmackDown focuses on wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's that simple. It's just like, they focus on wrestling. And it's like, and like the women's division is just better. Or like, you looking at it, Charlotte, the three best women's wrestlers on SmackDown are the three focuses of SmackDown. The best women's wrestlers on Raw aren't the focus of Raw. Sasha is clearly the best wrestler on Raw. She is not the focus of the women's division. Bayley would probably be a close second. She's not a focus of the women's division. Who they have focusing on Raw, they have Ronda Rousey, who hasn't been doing this very long. Nia Jax, who's still green. It's just look at who they focus on.
Mm-hmm. True story,
and
man.
That should tell you, yeah, the best wrestlers are focused on SmackDown. It's a better product.
Yeah.
True story. Champions on WWE champion on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan, who's he feuding with? AJ Styles. You know, The Miz is kind of sprinkled in there, who's a great performer. It's like, let the performers give them the most time. The great performers give them the most time. Why are you strapping Seth Rollins down in all the storyline crap with Dean Ambrose when he's your best in-ring performer?
Yep. I totally agree, man. I totally agree. Next, we get a Lars Sullivan video package, same one that we've seen on Raw, where he just kind of talks about doesn't matter what promotion what show he decides to go to, he's going to make a huge impact, he's going to take over. Then we get Miz TV with Daniel Bryan. Prior to Daniel Bryan come out, The Miz is talking, and all of a sudden we hear Miz, 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 Miz. It's Carmella and The Truth come out. They interrupt The Miz. He's like, what? They hit a 7-second dance break. They do a little flossing. Oh, y'all can't see it right now, but I'm flossing. And then they just leave. The Miz is highly irritated. You can tell that he did not like it. Miz discusses his journey with Daniel Bryan and says for the first time, the new Daniel Bryan is on the show. So Daniel Bryan's out there. You know, he comes out. He takes a seat. Miz says he still looks like the old Daniel Bryan, but says that Bryan looks more confident and now realizes there is no what did he say? There's no I just drew a complete blank. But basically, he was saying that the Miz was right all along, and that he was right all along. Yeah, he was saying that he's not going to placate to the fans anymore. all that jazz, saying that the fans weren't there with him and blah, 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 blah. He said that the old Daniel Bryan was smart, but how could he be so smart if he was catering to these fans? Probably not. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could make an argument that I like this storyline and that I hate this storyline at the same time.
I didn't like when he went to the whole vegan using water, leaving carbon footprints and all that stuff.
Oh, no, I thought that was the best part, man.
It's very CJ Parker, you know, and it's very old school who Juice Robinson was before, very flower child, and went off on that. And I was just like, I get it. It's the I'm better than you gimmick. And I honestly think Daniel Bryan performed this in a way that made me not hate it as much because he just did it so well.
Yeah.
Like I said, when people say I have a shit story, a shit character, I'm just asking, but what are you doing about it? Because you've seen these people like The Miz, Carmella, and R-Truth. They make shit work.
Yeah. Yeah, they
Carmella
turn.
Carmella and R-Truth are kind of the comedic part of SmackDown, and everything they do is funny.
Yeah, what is they're turning chicken shit into chicken salad?
Yeah, and they do it. And it's just like, a lot of times it's like, man, this is a horrible storyline, but you can execute it in a way that makes it better. You know, and it's just, this was like, let's just say you put this in like someone like Apollo Crews' hands. He wouldn't know how to do it. But it's in Daniel Bryan's hand, and he's a master. And the content is something I probably wouldn't enjoy, but the execution was so well that he had me hating him by the end of this interview.
Right, right. Yeah, so that's kind of what I was going to go towards the, you know, when he starts attacking the fans. So up until that point, I'm like, or I guess that's kind of what I was thinking at first was, you know, it just doesn't seem realistic that he's attacking the fans, saying the fans weren't behind him when the fans obviously were behind him. But then, on the other side of it, I kind of start thinking, that's the whole point. Like, he's such a heel, he didn't realize how much the fans, you know, meant to him and how they had his back the whole time. And I just thought it was really, what I'm saying is it kind of roped me in.
He's completely delusional.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the word, yeah, absolutely. He mocks the fans for being sheep. He says, you know, when they start doing the what chants, he says, the knowledge of the old Bryan combined with the state of mind of the new Bryan is a dangerous combo. Miz says he's been saying that for years, and Bryan is only champion because he did whatever it took, just like the Miz said to do. Bryan says he kicked AJ in the groin, but only had to do it the one time. These people harm the earth every day with their mass consumption and climate-damaging habits. If you want to count sins, he kicked one man in the groin on one day. The sins of these people are way worse than him. Miz doesn't care because Bryan had everyone fooled as he painted Miz as the bad guy, but the Miz was never fooled, he said. I thought it was awesome, man. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. And it was just, it was the funny, is like, I may be a dick, but you're all worse than me.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
The thing.
Yeah, man, it was absolutely awesome. I guess at this point, I got written down in my notes, AJ Styles versus The Miz, but I don't remember exactly how they set that up. Did they just announce that would take place later on?
AJ came down to the ring.
Oh, see, I didn't even write that down.
He came down in the ring. He was trying to attack Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan throws The Miz in the way. AJ hits The Miz. Daniel Bryan runs away. AJ catches him. And then, but when he gets stuck in the ring, Miz come up behind him and hits him with a skull crusher finale.
That's
and
right.
That's the match for later in the night.
That's right. I totally forgot about AJ coming down. I didn't even write that down. I guess I was just so tunnel visioned on how awesome I thought the kind of new and improved Daniel Bryan is. You know, that just shows how good of a performer Daniel Bryan is, man. Not only is he one of the best wrestlers in the world, but I mean, the guy can play this just red hot white meat baby face, and then he can just play this disgusted environmentalist vegan warrior heel character within a few weeks of each other, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, it's so amazing, you know, how good he is. And that's what, and like, people like Daniel Bryan makes me angry when I say, when wrestlers aren't looked at as serious actors. Because I think his performance now, what he's doing as a bad guy, should get nominations for awards because it's great acting.
True. Very true, man. Very true. There needs to be... Why don't we just set up our very own wrestling acting awards? The Wrestler Acting Guild.
Yes. This, I'm like, this has nothing to do with your in-ring performance. This is promos, everything you do outside of the ring.
Yes.
Is it believable?
Jinder Mahal will finally win an award. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton is next. Everything I read online was like, geez, how many times have these guys wrestled? If anybody has a rant, like somehow randomly knows how many televised matches they've had, someone write in and tell us, because I have no idea, but it's got to be 50 or more, right?
Yes, but I got to do the in a vacuum thing. In a vacuum, this was a really good match. Jeff Hardy didn't look slow. They actually performed well. I don't know how long they got, but they actually performed really well. It's just that we've seen it so many times over the last month that nobody wants to see it now.
True story. Jeff Hardy was about to put Randy Orton through the commentary table. I think he got all the way up to the top turnbuckle while Randy Orton was laying on the commentary table. And Samoa Joe shows up on the Titantron. He's at a bar. He hands out a beer, and then he cuts a PSA talking about moderation and drinking, I guess, you know, to play on the open secret. It's not even open secret, just the open, just the knowledge that Jeff Hardy has struggled with alcoholism in the past.
Correct.
So, how do they say that? You know, storylines based off of real-world incidents, I guess, is how you would say that.
That is correct.
Which, you know, if anybody can pull it off, it's Samoa Joe. Again, with the great acting, Samoa Joe goes into that category with Daniel Bryan, too, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Somebody pointed out the fact that he's basically just doing the same thing. You know, with AJ Styles, he pointed out him not being family time. Now with Jeff Hardy, he's going after his substance abuse issues. And for anybody else, if it wasn't Samoa Joe, this would probably seem repetitive, but he delivers on his promos every week, so they seem fresh and they seem new every week.
Yep, I agree. Daniel Bryan's interviewed backstage. He says he doesn't run, and he does everything for a purpose, or with a purpose, rather. He says, now I'm going to go join commentary. After the commercial break, we get AJ Styles versus The Miz. The match went 13 minutes. AJ Styles wins it with a calf crusher. I thought this was such a great match. These guys wrestle two very different styles, but they have such great chemistry, man. AJ Styles can wrestle any style, but he wrestles more of a modern strong style. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my interpretation of it, is AJ wrestles more of a kind of a Japanese hybrid strong style, and The Miz is very much an 80s, a 1984 wrestler in the ring. But they mesh up together perfectly. What do you think?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. Completely agree with that.
Yeah. To be honest, like, I want the style of wrestling that I'm really going for, because I want to be, like, I almost want to bore modern-day fans to the point where they just want to kill me at live events. And I'm really trying to learn that Miz style of wrestling, you know, that 1980s, you know, not throwing a forearm, you know what I mean? Like, just that 1980s style wrestling, I absolutely love it, and I think in today's age, you can really get some heat from wrestling like that, throwing people in headlocks and killing time and just bringing down the whole atmosphere of the live crowd and, you know, just pull a lot of heat onto yourself. So love watching The Miz. Every time I watch The Miz, I try to look at it as like a training session for myself. Post-match, Floyd, we see Daniel Bryan attack AJ Styles and targets the knee before slamming him into the post. He chop blocks Styles and applies the heel hook until the refs make the save. He then head kicks him, stomps the shit out of him. He runs down the fans, chop blocks him again, locks on another heel hook, and that pretty much closes the show. If you look on our Instagram, I put that this insane vegan environmentalist warrior Daniel Bryan is absolutely awesome. I love
it. He really is. And the fact that he's still, you know, still a physical threat, he doesn't just run away every time.
Yeah.
That also is something that makes me happy.
Absolutely. And that was kind of like, and this is going to be a weird comparison, but once I explain it, I think people, yourself included, Floyd, might at least see my point, even if you don't agree. But you remember when 1996, Bash at the Beach, the NWO was formed, and they really kind of changed what the bad guy did, because, you know, the bad guy always, you know, for the most part, he ran, you know, and he didn't want to wrestle. You know, people were always getting the better of him and stuff, you know, heels in wrestling. Once the NWO came along, the fans wanted to see them get their comeuppance, and they never gave it to them. The NWO was so dominant as a heel faction. And Daniel Bryan has got a lot of those characteristics now that he's a heel. Like, he's still, you know, dominant for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's like, God, I hate him, and I want to get my hands on him. But he put on a 5-star match, and he goes over. You know what I mean? I love that. It's like he's a fighting champion, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and I definitely agree with that. It's just, he's a different type of heel. He's going to be the heel that you can't beat.
Yeah.
Like the heel that it's like, I'm a heel, but I'm also still better than you.
That's a great way to put it. But that is it for the SmackDown review, man. We went through it pretty quick. We hit the nitty-gritty on everything because, like we said at the beginning of the show, our main man here, Floyd, is going to get himself some tickets. Are you getting – we got a couple of minutes before you need to go, before we need to sign off for the chair shot, but are you getting Raw and SmackDown and NXT tickets?
I am not doing SmackDown this year. I'm actually coming home on Tuesday.
Okay.
I'll get married in July.
Right.
So I am doing very much, not cutting big corners, cutting small corners. I usually would stay like the full, I would stay like 7 days. I would stay from Wednesday to Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
But this year I'm staying from Thursday to Tuesday. I took off a day on each end. And I'm mostly doing shows this year. I'm not going to do a lot of meet and greets this year because that cuts down my cost. And I'm actually staying in the WrestleCon hotel, so I don't have to pay for a lot of travel.
Ah, I dig it, man. I absolutely dig it. We're going to do a bunch of fun stuff when we get closer to WrestleMania, especially because, you know, Floyd's going to be going up there for sure. I've still got my fingers crossed that my lovely, lovely, lovely wife, Courtney, will let me go to WrestleMania in New York this year. So, Floyd, keep your fingers crossed with me.
My fingers are crossed. I am super excited. I want everybody to make sure December 16th, Heroes of wrestling in Roy City.
Yeah.
Got Brian Pillman Jr. and my friend Jenna. I hit her up on Twitter, and she's like, "Man, it's gonna be good seeing you because we haven't seen each other since WrestleMania." I'm coming and be representing. I'll have my Chair Shot shirt on, representing the Chair Shot. Hopefully, I can get Ryan to come with me. He's checking with his wife today, so I'm really excited about that show. And I'm hoping someone that listens daily. We come out to the show and meet me and Jordan.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I can't wait.
I might
dude.
Have some prizes on the old backpack. So I'm just saying, if you see and you hear the voice of Floyd and you say, "Are you Floyd from this show?" I'm going to give you something.
Uh-oh.
I'm not telling you what it is. I'm just saying.
Uh-oh. And if you listen to both of Floyd's shows, don't be trying to pull a fast one on him. Don't try to walk up to him and be like, "Hey, you're from around the ring," and then try to walk up to him 5 minutes later and be like, "Dude, it's Floyd from Indie Wrestling Radio." That's one gift per person, dang it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with everybody.
The great thing about it is I have a lot of wrestling stuff. I got a lot of signed 8x10s. I'm just going to pack them up in the bag. You happen to see me, I might not even give any away, but if you'd be like, "Hey, I know you from this show," you'll probably get something.
Oh, look at that go, boy. Are you going to wear the Nightmare Family jacket?
No, I'm going to be wearing my Chair Shot shirt.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I didn't know. It might be a little cold, so you might want to wear a jacket too, though.
Dude, as you know, I'm a large man. It takes a lot to make me cold.
I will
wear my Nightmare Family jacket. You are correct on that.
Gotcha, man. Yeah,
and it will say Floyd on it. So you don't even have to guess if it's me. My jacket literally says my name on it.
I love it, man. Hey, tell them where you spend the weekends at, my man.
You just shouted me out. We're on thechairshot.com. It's this little show called Around the Ring. It is me and my friend Ryan. You can go on Twitter and Facebook. It is at Around the Ring OK on both pages. It is, love it. Like I said, we talk about weekly topics. This week, our top five, I believe it's going to be top five shows of the year.
Nice. I'm definitely going to tune in for that. Y'all got to check out Around the Ring. It's an absolutely awesome show. I love the top five portions on the show. Don't forget, follow us on all social media platforms. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to do a bunch of fun stuff tomorrow and Friday. Don't forget to check out Mind the Business. That's tomorrow. One last thing I forgot to mention. I want to say it today. There will be no Heroes of Wrestling show tomorrow at 7 p.m. That show has been canceled. Our promoter's wife has been pretty sick. Nothing life-threatening or anything. She's got pneumonia, so he's been playing the good husband, taking real good care of her. But that means that some stuff didn't get edited in time. So no Heroes of Wrestling show this week, as far as like on the Facebook Live show. But don't forget, like Floyd said, December 16th, Floyd and I will be there. So everyone come out, spend the evening with me and Floyd. We would love to chat with you about wrestling. It is our lives. So please come talk wrestling with Floyd and I. Floyd, as always, I love doing this show with you. There's no one on earth that I'd rather do it with. You teach me something new every single day, my man. And for everyone out there that's tuned in today and every day, for Floyd and myself, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?